This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, everyone. It's Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer from Sun and Fun 2016. I'm with Tim Rule of General Aviation Modifications Incorporated. For a number of years, they've been working on a fuel project to replace 100 low-lead with an unleaded high-octane fuel called G100. Tim, you decided not to pursue the PAFI process that the other fuel entrants did, and you had specific reasons for that. Explain why you did that, and then we'll transition into where you are with your research project.
Certainly. Well, at the time that PAFI was conceived, GAMI had already initiated an STC effort for the G100UL that was at, almost 3 years old at the time. We were well on our way to defining the criteria that was going to be used for the certification of the fuel and felt pretty comfortable that it was going to be a workable path for us. Whereas if we had chosen to partake in PAFI, it would have both taken the certification methods and test protocol out of our ability to control and really backed us up time-wise while they first figured out what it was they were going to do and how they were going to do it and, you know, how they were going to do it with other fuels at the same time. We were one of the few entrants into that fuel game that had the capability in-house to do most, if not all, of the testing that was going to be required. So we were in a little bit of a unique situation for a number of reasons.
Where are you now with the testing? I spoke to George Brawley last week, and he gave me a general rundown. But you're pretty close to having completed the test program.
Yes, we really are, and we're really kind of flying under the radar, heads down, but working very diligently on completing the STC for the fuel and making good progress. It's been a challenging year of finalizing some of the last test requirements for the first STC. The goal is to be issued two STCs, one airframe STC, one engine STC, each of them AML, approved model list STCs, that would sequentially add a number of models of airframes and engines to each of those STCs in a progressive fashion. So what we've worked out is that there are certain representative and characteristic airplanes and engine combinations that are similar in design and configuration to others that we will test a battery of tests on, and then following the successful completion of those tests, we'll be granted a fairly large number of other airplanes and engines of similar configuration. So we've basically completed all of the tests required for the first set of airplanes that used a Cessna 172 at Embry-Riddle, where we did the full complement of testing there with the exception of the detonation testing, which would have been very easy for us to pass on that aircraft, but we didn't want to set a precedent of how that test was going to be done on that airframe engine combination, and instead wanted to work out the details of how to do the detonation testing on a much more challenged engine, being the turbo-normalized 550, running it actually higher than normalized boost, which represents the high-end challenges, and then if we are successful in passing that test, we would be granted the detonation approval on the 172. So that's pretty much where we are, and we hope to complete that testing in 3 or 4 months, at which point we will have completed all the testing required for the first group of airplanes and would expect an STC for the 172 and several other airplanes of similar configuration. Then we will be left with a few only additional tests on the Cirrus and turbo-normalized Bonanza representative airplanes that would then grant us a group of airplanes sort of at the other end of the spectrum on the, you know, high compression ratio, turbocharged, turbo-normalized type aircraft. And then according to the PSCP, the plan for certification that we have with the FAA, we'll do some other additional tests, each one somewhat additive in its plan, so that hopefully in about a year we expect to have a fleet-wide STC.
Once that fleet-wide STC is out there, what then happens as far as manufacturing and distribution of this fuel? What are the potentials?
Well, I think it's pretty difficult to read those tea leaves exactly. But things that we know are that the EPA is currently rather sitting on their hands with respect to issuing an advance notice of proposed rulemaking on an endangerment finding of lead in avgas. They have had a mandate since the 1980s relative to getting rid of the lead in avgas, but the FAA has basically been able to play a trump card preventing them from doing so from a safety consideration. Once we or others are awarded FAA approval of a fuel or fuels, I think that will trigger release of that ANPRM and an endangerment finding, which sort of drives the industry from a liability consideration away from a leaded fuel. Because once that endangerment finding is in place, anyone that makes or sells or makes products that use a leaded fuel fall into that liability tree and will be moving away from that. And then probably there will actually be a ban on the use of lead at some point down the road. As far as our fuel is concerned, we don't intend to manufacture the fuel, never have. We hope that the fuel would be made by any of several current avgas manufacturers at their facilities, distributed through their channels. All of that helps to keep the costs down. The key is to make sure that we have a competitively priced fuel in the end. It's an area where we have a lot of concern with respect to what the end game is at PAFI, because it's somewhat indeterminate with their goal of a, quote, fuel that has the least impact on the industry. Nobody really knows what that exactly means.
And years past in covering this, you said that G100 will be comparable in price to 100 low lead. Is that still the case?
Yes, certainly. The chemistry of G100 UL is understood. There's commodity volumes available in the industry for most all of the components, and based on that, we have good background history to know what the costs of producing the fuel could be. So we're pretty comfortable that it should come in comparably priced to 100 low lead.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the update, Tim.
You're welcome.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun and Fun 2016. You've been listening to Tim Rule of GAMI on the G100 fuel replacement for 100 low lead. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.